Strange Mission. Juan Del Monte sat up in bed with a start. What had he heard? Was he dreaming? No. There it came again. Open up! This is the police! A loud bang on the front door demanded action. Juan glanced over at his wife and saw her still asleep. Slipping from the bed, he put on his trousers. Then, closing the bedroom door behind him, he stumbled through the dark house to the front room. Is this some kind of trick? He wondered. Is some robber trying to get me to open the door? Or is it really the law? And what could the police want with me at this hour of the night? Opening the tiny window on the front door, Juan peered into the night. He could see the forms of two large policemen banging their billy clubs on the wooden door. What do you want? Juan asked. Señor Del Monte, one of the policemen shouted. I am Señor Del Monte, Juan replied as calmly as he could. May I help you in any way? Yes, you can open this door and let us in. Unlocking the door, Juan swung it open. The two policemen, scowls on their faces, strode into his front room. Where is your gun? One of them demanded. Juan felt the blood drain from his face. So that was it. Now he knew why they had come. He had recently bought a shotgun to protect his chickens from small animals. The law required that every citizen who owned a gun register it with the government by a certain date each year. Failure to do so meant spending a month in jail. Offenders suspected of plotting against the government received the worst treatment. But even the most well-behaved citizen, who could prove that he merely forgot, found himself locked up. I'll get it for you, Juan breathed. He put his hand to his mouth, then turned to go back into the bedroom where he kept the weapon. One of the policemen jerked Juan back by the shoulder. You show me where that gun is, and I'll get it, he growled. My wife is in the bedroom, senor, Juan bowed slightly. I am not a bad man. I will not bring my gun out and shoot you. You may go in and get it, but may I explain to my wife first and let her get dressed? He gazed at the officer who had treated him so roughly. Their eyes met for a second as the man studied him. Adelante, forward, he said. Go, but leave the door open so we can hear. Juan thanked the policeman and opened his bedroom door. I am in trouble, he said to Maria, his wife. I forgot to register my gun with the authorities. The deadline was 2 weeks ago. Now they've come to get me. I'm afraid it will mean several weeks in prison. I understand that 1 month is the minimum sentence. Maria buried her face in her pillow. What will we do? She wailed. He patted her on the shoulder. I know this is frightening, but I won't be in prison for anything bad, just for an oversight. Who knows? Maybe God has a reason for allowing this. We must trust him. In the morning you must get in touch with my boss and with Pastor Sucre. They may be able to help. Now dress quickly so the officers can come in and get the gun. Opening the closet, Juan took out the gun. He placed it across a chair by the bed, then returned to the waiting policeman. As soon as my wife is dressed, you may go in. The gun is on the chair. A few minutes later, a pale Maria emerged in her housecoat, a scarf around her hair. The officer's attitude seemed to soften when they saw her terrified expression. Pardon our intrusion, signora, one of them said. We are only doing what we were told to do. Si, signor. You may pick up the gun now if you wish, Juan told them, motioning towards the door with his hand. One of the officers entered the bedroom and returned with the shotgun. And now, Signora Del Monte, you will come with us, please. Si, Signor, Juan replied. May I gather together a few things to take with me? I'm afraid I shall not be returning for a while. Permission granted. Juan quickly finished dressing, then found a suitcase. Maria brought him a change of clothing, two sheets, and a blanket. On top of everything else, Juan laid his Bible and Sabbath school lesson quarterly. Take good care of the children while I'm gone, he said as he kissed Maria goodbye. It won't be long until I'll be back. At the police station, Juan readily admitted having failed to register his gun. It was an oversight, he explained to the interrogating officer. I'm not a bad man. I have no wrong intentions against the government. As a Christian, I believe in obeying the leaders of my country, not in shooting them down. The officer appeared quite unimpressed as he shuffled through a stack of cards. Stopping at one, he grunted, adjusted his glasses, and examined it. Señor Juan Del Monte, he read aloud. Offenses, none. Political record, clear. He paused. I am authorized to give you the minimum of 1 month in prison if your record is clear. You will spend the night in a cell here at the police station. Tomorrow morning you will be transferred to the Bastion for a month. The Bastion. That was the large maximum security prison at the edge of town. It housed some of the country's worst criminals. Of all places, it was the most feared. Juan wondered what awaited him next, as the guard led him through the door to the cell in the back of the police station where he would spend the night. The rattle of a key in his door woke Juan early the next morning. A friendly attendant handed him a bowl of rice and beans. You must eat quickly, Signor, the attendant said. One of the guards will be here in a few minutes to take you to the Bastion. Muchas gracias. Thank you very much. Taking the bowl, Juan wasted no time finishing his breakfast. Then he sat on the edge of his cot and picked up his Bible. He wanted a few minutes for meditation and prayer before the guard came to get him. Lord, he said as he knelt to pray, I don't know why I'm here, but if there's some way I can witness for you in this trial, if there is a work for me to do during my month in prison, show me the way. At the Bastion 2 hours later, an armed sentry admitted Juan and his guard through a locked gate. They entered a small waiting room where two other prisoners sat, each with his personal guard. A prison officer filled out papers at a desk at the far end of the room. Juan and his guard took seats with the others. Half an hour later, his own paperwork completed, Juan walked with his guard down a series of long halls, through several locked and guarded doors, to a section of the prison containing half a dozen large barred rooms. After a rattling of keys and a banging of doors, Juan found himself in a room with 14 cots and about as many men. Three cots lined the wall on either side of the door. He had entered. Eight rested against the back wall, opposite the door. Beside each cot stood a small chest of drawers. At either end of the room, a wash bowl hung on the wall under a single cold water faucet. In the center of the room, between the two rows of cots, stretched a long, narrow table. After the guard left, Juan sat on the edge of his cot. The other men stared at him. Hard, bitter expressions marked most of their faces. Feeling conspicuous and a little uncomfortable, he remembered the stories he'd heard about prisoners who molested and beat up their fellow inmates. Father in heaven, he prayed silently, I can only trust you to protect me. These men are the worst of sinners, but Jesus loved the worst of sinners and died for them. If I can help even one of them to learn to love you during the time I am here, it will be a month well spent. Help me to love them like you do. As he prayed, the fear Juan had felt disappeared. I must trust them like friends, he thought, and with a smile he held out his hand to the man nearest him. My name is Juan del Monte. At first the man just stared at him. Pedro Alfonso, he mumbled at last and turned away. The rest of the men in the cell roared with laughter. Confused, Juan didn't know just what to say next, so he sat back down on the edge of his cot. Where are you from, Pedro?
From right here, the man replied wryly.
The other men laughed again.
He means that he's been in this jail so long he doesn't know there's any place else to be from, one of them said in a derisive tone.
Juan realized that the men were laughing at Pedro, not at him. He felt sorry for the man and determined to get better acquainted with him. Reaching into his suitcase, he took out his Bible and quarterly. As he read, he watched what went on around the room. Soon the other men were busy with their own conversations. Loud, coarse laughter told Juan he didn't care to hear some of the subjects under discussion. Pedro glanced his way. What do you do around here all day? Juan asked him.
The cellmate shrugged. Work out on the rock pile. Only the guard is sick today, so we didn't have to go out.
Must be pretty hard work, Juan commented, trying to keep the conversation going.
You'll get used to it if you stay here as long as I have.
Oh, they sent me here for a month because I forgot to register my gun, Juan explained.
Lucky. I've been here almost 10 years because I used mine, and I've got another 10 to go. I was stupid. I got mad and killed a buddy while I was in the army. And then I tried to get away and I killed a policeman, too. Stupid. Plain stupid. If I ever get out of here, I hope I can control my temper better.
That's interesting, Juan replied. One of my own hardest battles is with my temper. I thought I'd never conquer it. And I guess I really wouldn't have, either. But I met a man who helps me. If I ask him, he controls it for me.
Yeah, I know. They tried to control mine in the army. They tried to control it here, too. It's nothing but force, force, force all the time. I get so sick of it. Sometimes I go into a rage like a madman. I could never make it on the outside. If I ever get out of here, I'll be right back. Nobody can control my temper. Least of all, me.
I think the person who helps me could help you, too.
What does he make you do? Pedro asked bitterly.
Just ask him, that's all, Juan replied. If you believe he can help you, he will.
Huh, nobody can help me.
My friend has always been able to help anyone who's asked him.
What's his name? Pedro questioned.
Jesus.
For a long time, Pedro sat thinking. My mother was a Christian, he said at last. She went to Mass every Sunday morning, and sometimes through the week, too. But it never did her any good. I got my bad temper from her.
Maybe she didn't know how to ask.
Maybe not, he sighed, and looked the other way. Juan decided not to press the matter further just then. But he silently prayed for wisdom to know how he might lead Pedro to really know Christ. The rest of that day, Juan tried to get acquainted with the other prisoners. Some were friendly, others brushed him aside gruffly. The ones who spurned him seemed sad and discouraged. Feeling sorry for them, he wondered how he could help them to feel happier inside. He sensed that it was their sadness, the loneliness in their hearts that had gotten many of them into trouble in the first place. Before going to bed that night, Juan turned in his Bible to Matthew 25:35-36. There he read, For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. "Oh, God," Juan prayed quietly, "now I understand why you told us to visit the people in prison. They are lonely and discouraged. If we can just be friendly to them, let them know that someone cares, that may be all it takes to win some of them to you. Help me to live the way Jesus would if he were here, and especially help Pedro to understand how to ask you for help with his temper. Amen." As Juan lay down to sleep that night, he felt a peace he'd never known before. "And here I am in prison," he chuckled. "I think I'm beginning to understand why I forgot to register my gun." The next day, the guard was sick again. "There must be a reason for it," Juan kept telling himself throughout the morning. "Maybe it was so Pedro couldn't go to work. How can I help Pedro?" He decided to leave his Bible and quarterly on the bed while he chatted with some of the dozen or so other prisoners in the cell. Noticing several men playing a game with homemade dominoes at the long table in the center of the room, he stood and watched. Eventually, he fell into a conversation with the man beside him and forgot about Pedro. Half an hour later, Juan chanced to glance towards his bed. He felt elated to see Pedro reading from the Bible he had left there. His first impulse was to speak to him, but he decided to give the Lord time to work through his word. Perhaps like the Ethiopian whom Philip met in the desert, Pedro would ask for an explanation. Juan kept up his conversation with the other prisoners in the circle around the domino game. Another half hour passed. Juan strolled back to his bed and lay down to rest. Pedro continued reading. Although he had almost fallen asleep, Juan heard Pedro speak. "Did you say something?" he asked. "Oh, I'm sorry. I should have asked for permission to read your Bible," Pedro explained. "After what you said yesterday, I decided if I could find out about the help Jesus gives with our bad tempers." "The word of God is free. You needn't apologize." "But I don't think God wants me," Pedro sighed as he closed the book and handed it back to Juan. "Some people who are good enough, yes, but not me. I'm too bad. God doesn't want anyone like me." Juan thought a moment and then began. "Jesus told a story once. A farmer's son demanded of his father that he give him a share of the inheritance. Reluctantly, the old man turned it over. But instead of spending his new wealth wisely, the boy squandered every penny of it on wild city living. When his money ran out, the young man had to tend a farmer's hogs." "Just like me," Pedro muttered. "Only my father never gave me anything. He just threw me out of the house because I was such a rascal." "This boy's father was different. The young man actually came to his senses one day, rather like you've done now. He decided to return to his father and just work as a hired servant. But his father would have none of it. He gave him the best clothes, threw a big party for him, and treated him exactly as before, like his son." "Mine wouldn't do that." Pedro glanced bitterly at Juan and then at the floor. "There's nobody would do a thing like that." "God would." "God, huh? He kills sinners."
"Jesus came to tell us about God," Juan replied quietly. "In fact, this very story is one Jesus told to help us understand how God treats sinners who come to him for help, kindly, like his own sons."
"I wish he'd treat me like that," Pedro said.
"He already has." Juan turned to another text in the Bible. "It says right here that God loved the world so much, he loved sinners so much, that he gave his only son to die for us. And if we will just believe it, we can have eternal life."
"God kills sinners," Pedro shot back. "That's what my mother always told me. Anytime I did anything bad, she'd say, 'You'll go to hell if you don't straighten up.
God will kill you for that.
Maybe that's why your mother was never able to get God's help to overcome her bad temper, Juan suggested. She probably never believed God loved her. Since she didn't believe he wanted to help her with her temper, she, of course, never asked for his help. I wouldn't ask somebody to help me either, if I thought he hated me like that.
Pedro sat thinking for a long time. I don't know, he said at last. I just don't know. You sure are different. Nobody has ever explained it to me like this before. I must think about it.
I will pray for you, Juan said quietly, that God will help you to understand.
Yes, pray for me, please.
Juan saw tears in Pedro's eyes as he turned away. All the next week, Juan and Pedro talked about God and his plan to save sinners from ruin and death. The dramatic change that came over Pedro's whole outlook on life amazed Juan. He had never fully realized the power the work of the Holy Spirit could have on a human heart. It showed not only in Pedro's attitude, but on his face and in his language. The sick guard stayed away only 2 days. After that, Pedro returned to work at the rock pile every morning. Juan's offense was minor, and the warden permitted him to stay in the cell all day. He missed talking with Pedro, but he spent each day preparing studies for him in the evening. In just 1 week's time, Juan covered every phase of the plan of salvation, and Pedro seemed eager to understand it all. Again, Juan recognized the Holy Spirit at work. "Amigo, friend, listen to this," Pedro exclaimed one evening as he came in from the rock pile. "The guard yelled at me like no one has ever done before. The devil really got after me. I was furious. I felt like exploding in the guard's face. Then I remembered God's promise to help us overcome if we ask him. So I asked, and it worked. My anger left me. The guard looked so stunned that I almost laughed. Juan felt that he could explode right then, too, but for a different reason. "Isn't it wonderful what God can do for us?" he exclaimed. "Let's thank him." Together they bowed their heads and prayed. The morning of the 9th day in prison, a guard came to the cell and unlocked the door. "Juan Del Monte," he barked. Alone in the cell after the other prisoners left for the rock pile, Juan had lain down on his cot and fallen asleep. The guard's abrupt command jolted him. "Sí, señor," he replied, jumping to his feet. He smoothed his clothes with his hands as he stepped to the door. "The warden wants to see you." The guard ushered Juan out the door and rattled the key in the lock. Together they passed through the same set of halls and doors Juan had passed through more than a week before. Juan entered the office ahead of the guard. An official behind the desk, whom Juan took to be the warden, motioned toward a chair. Wondering whether the news would be good or bad, Juan sat down. "Señor Del Monte," the warden began as he laid down a pencil and picked up a card, "I'm happy to inform you that through the efforts of a Pastor Sucre, who has vouched for your integrity, we are permitting you to leave after 10 days instead of 4 weeks." Although Juan felt like jumping over the desk and hugging the man, he simply said, "Muchas gracias, señor. I appreciate it very much." "You will leave at about this same time tomorrow morning," the warden continued. "Señor Sucre will be here for you. That is all." Juan glanced at the clock on the wall. It said 10 o'clock. Thanking the warden again, he rose to leave the room. The guard ushered him out the door and back to his cell, where he spent most of the rest of the day planning for his final visit that evening with Pedro. Pedro still had much he must learn. They had covered the doctrines, to be sure. He could even find many of the texts in the Bible by himself. But he had not made a full commitment to accept everything, especially the Sabbath. Juan wondered what would happen to Pedro after he left. He decided that the answer to that question would have to rest with the same God who sent him here to find Pedro. "I have news for you," Juan said as Pedro came over to his cot after work that evening. "What is it, good news or bad?" Quietly, Juan replied, "I will be released from prison at 10 o'clock in the morning." "Amigo, that is wonderful," Pedro exclaimed. Then his tone became serious. "The Lord Jesus led you here. He knew that the time had come for this prodigal to return to his father. Only the prodigal, like the lost coin, didn't know he had a loving father to receive him as a son. So God sent you here to sweep out this prison to find me and show me the way back home." Although there was a lump in his throat, Juan smiled. He didn't know what to say. "I have some more questions," Pedro continued. "The Sabbath still troubles me. I think I understand that it's right. But how can I keep it? I'm not my own man here in this prison. The guards tell me what to do. How can I observe the Sabbath? It's impossible." Picking up his Bible, Juan turned to Mark 2:27-28. "You see, Pedro," he explained, "it's not our choice whether to keep the Sabbath or not. Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. If he is Lord of our lives, too, then the Sabbath becomes an inseparable part of our experience with him. It's not a question of whether or not the Sabbath is impossible to keep. For the Christian, that's settled. It's a question of whether we can truly be Christians if our Lord's Sabbath is not a vital part of our lives." From Pedro's face, Juan knew that the man struggled with a great problem. Pedro's eyes fell to the floor, where he stared at the concrete for a long time. Then he looked up at the light bulb in the ceiling. He glanced briefly at Juan, shifted his gaze back to the floor, and then up to the ceiling again. Taking the Bible, he turned a few pages but put it on the bed and walked to the wash basin against the wall for a drink. Returning, he sat on the edge of his cot. "Look," he said, "I learned that God helps me overcome my temper. If I just keep quiet when the guard says something that makes me angry, everything works out like it should. Now you're telling me to talk back to that guard and make him mad. I mean, the Sabbath isn't his fault, you know. He's only doing what he's told to do. It's the warden and the government all the way to the president of the country that tell me what I have to do. I can't buck the system." From the intensity on Pedro's face, Juan wondered if he would witness one of Pedro's temper tantrums right in the prison cell. The other prisoners seemed amused, but Juan brushed the thought of them out of his mind. He realized that Pedro's problem was not with doctrine. It involved his heart. Juan had explained the truth as clearly as he knew how. The rest he left up to the Holy Spirit. "Pedro," he said, "I prayed that God would help you to understand his love and control your temper. Now I shall pray that God will help you with this Sabbath problem. Once you decide to follow him all the way, he has an answer." Juan felt that Pedro had entered the most critical moment of his life. A decision for eternity would take place that night, one way or the other. It seemed to Juan that if Pedro should leave for the rock pile the next morning without having reached a decision for Christ and the Sabbath, he might never make it. He determined to spend most of the night in prayer. The study concluded, each man began preparing for the night. Juan turned back the blanket on his cot and set his Bible on a chair placed between their two cots. Pedro went to the basin for another drink. Back at his cot, he took off his shoes and unbuttoned his shirt, hanging it over the back of the chair. He looked down at Juan's Bible, picked it up, and turned it over in his rough hands. "Mind if I study a while from your Bible, amigo?" "Not at all," Juan replied.
That's where the answers are, you know.
Gracias.
As he turned the pages, he thought, answers. Don't I need them now? Then his prayer winged heavenward. God, it doesn't seem real. A week ago I was a criminal in my heart. Now you've changed all that. But that's my heart, not the guards or the wardens. What am I supposed to do about them?
Had Juan known the struggle that had raged in Pedro's heart since he had first learned of the Sabbath 2 days before, he would have understood a little better the reason for the sudden emotional outburst a few minutes earlier. To Pedro, the struggle was excruciating. It's one thing, he reasoned, for Juan to tell me God will provide the answer. But it's something else for me to believe it when I know I'll have that guard and the warden and this whole prison down my throat the minute I refuse to work. And all the other prisoners, won't they laugh when the guard makes a fool of me? Pedro spent an agonizing night. Tossing and turning, he thought of the guard, the warden, and the ridicule of the other prisoners. Then he thought of God's answer to his problem. Back and forth, around and around it went, all night long. Visions of the 10 years that remained to his prison term, stretching to 20, then 30 and 40, for refusing to obey orders, kept swirling through his mind. Finally, he drifted off into a restless, fitful sleep. He awoke early the next morning, glancing over at Juan's bunk. He saw his friend kneeling in prayer. He must be praying for me, Pedro decided. Right then, he knew what he must do. If Jesus loved me enough to give his life for me, he thought, then I must be willing to offer mine for him. Thank you, Lord, for friends like Juan, who are willing to share their lives with others. Breakfast was always a mad scramble, as each man pushed and shoved to get his cup of food first. Pedro ate quickly, then took the opportunity to talk quietly with Juan before they parted for the last time. Amigo, he said, I want you to know that I spent a most difficult night. I slept very little. The devil pulled me one way, and God the other. But early this morning, when I saw you praying for me, I made up my mind. Even if they kill me, I shall keep my first Sabbath day after tomorrow. Juan grasped Pedro's hand. That's wonderful. Atención! A guard's voice thundered in the prison cell. Every man except Pedro jumped into line in front of the cell door. If it's lifelong imprisonment or even death for refusing to obey orders, I shall obey God.
Amigo, you must go now, Juan said, pointing to the men already filing out the door. I shall be praying for you. God will answer our prayers. He reached down and picked up the Bible on his bed. Here, he thrust it into Pedro's hands. I can get another. You will need this one. Pedro looked at the Bible he held in his hand. Thank you, amigo. How can I thank you for everything? He placed the Bible on his own cot and fell into line just as the last man walked out the door. The guard shot a scowl his way. I may get a lot more scowls before next Sabbath is over, Pedro mused as he broke into the sunshine outside. But with a smile on my father's face, what do I care? I am his son, living in his home now. Friday night, Pedro sat on the edge of his cot, thinking about the crisis he would face the next day. If I refuse to leave this cell in the morning, I'll really catch it from the guard. Maybe I ought to go out to the rock pile and take my stand there, but if I do that, then I may weaken and lose the whole battle. Desperately, Pedro wished he and Juan could talk things over and pray together again, as they had every other evening that week. But then he remembered Juan's parting words. God has the answer. I will be praying for you. He decided that he had trusted God to help him escape from a bad temper. and now he must rely on God for deliverance from this Sabbath problem. Pedro rose early the next morning. He picked up the Bible Juan had left with him and studied God's promises. "Call upon me in the day of trouble," he read. "I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Psalms 50:15. "Dear God," he prayed quietly, "I leave today and its events in your hands. Give me the courage to take my stand in a way that will witness for you. Amen." Breakfast over, Pedro knew it would be only a few minutes until the guard arrived to take them all to the rock pile. He still had not decided whether to insist on staying in the cell all day or whether to take his stand after reaching the rock pile. "Atención!" The guard's command split the air. The men snapped to their feet and fell into line. Pedro's throat tightened. Now was no time to talk to the guard. But why talk? Just sit on the bed and wait for the worst to happen. He stepped to his cot. "Adelante, march!" Pedro wavered. Glancing back at the door, his eyes met the guard's cold stare. He grabbed his Bible and quarterly and followed the last man out the door. The cell door slammed shut behind him. The time to choose where to take his stand had passed. Pedro, in a daze, walked down the dimly lit gray hall. He scolded himself bitterly. "You coward! You just slipped along with the crowd. What will you do at the rock pile? Go along with the crowd again? Give in to the guard's command? God help me to face the next test better." Following the men through a heavy steel door, Pedro went from the dark building into the fresh air. Blinking in the bright light, he then took a deep breath and raised his head and chest high. Ahead of him, the men walked single pile past a stack of picks. Each man took one as he passed by. "Now is the time," Pedro thought. "I must not take a pick. It would be harder to refuse to work if I have a pick out there." He clutched his Bible and walked straight past the stack of tools. The guard failed to notice that he did not pick one up. The pile of limestone where the men would spend the day lay just beyond a large tree, several hundred yards from the main building, but still within the main prison compound. A narrow path wound to the left of the tree, dividing there to lead to the rock pile on the right hand, and the guard's small hut on the left. Slowly the line of men twisted along the path towards the stack of limestone. Pedro's heart pounded as they neared the tree, and beads of perspiration formed on his forehead. Taking another deep breath, he pulled in his stomach to calm the tension under his belt. Just as he reached the tree, the guard forced his way past, pushing Pedro roughly aside on his way to the front of the line. Pedro stumbled over to the tree, where he sat down between two large roots and laid his Bible on the ground. The guard barked several orders and retreated to his hut. Propping his rifle against the outside wall, he slumped down on the chair. Several minutes passed. To Pedro, each minute seemed an hour. He forced another breath of air against the fluttering in his stomach. Surveying the group of men around the rock pile, he noticed that nobody there had missed him either, yet. His taut muscles began to relax. He leaned against the tree, closed his eyes, and relaxed some more. "Maybe it won't be so bad after all," he thought. Several more minutes passed. Nothing happened. Pedro had relaxed almost completely and was about to pick up his Bible when a shriek split the air. "Who escaped?" He jerked his head towards the hut. A chill shot through his arms and legs as he saw the guard grab his gun and leap towards the startled prisoners. Terrified, he clutched the roots of the tree. "Stay where you are, every man of you," the guard screamed. "I counted, and one man's gone. I'm responsible. Who got away?" His shout rose to a terrifying pitch. The bewildered men crouched under the guard's tirade. The guard whirled this way and that, searching desperately for the missing man. Horrified at what might happen next, Pedro clamped his eyes shut. "Pedro Alfonso, you worthless, good-for-nothing scoundrel!" the guard screamed. Then followed a tirade of oaths as the guard's boots beat a path towards the tree. There rose in Pedro's heart the same anger that had gripped him every other time when the guard tore into him with his tongue. Rage pounded in his mind. "Force, force, nothing but force, 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 all my life. Why can't I keep the Sabbath the way I want to?" he thought. "Who's he to tell me I..." Suddenly Pedro recognized the demon that had intruded into his mind. He recognized the rage, the madness that God had helped him to overcome only a few days before. "God, help me to control my temper before this enraged man," he prayed. Like an escape valve opening in his heart, the pressure vanished. His hands relaxed. No longer did he feel angry at the guard. No longer did he fear what might happen because of his refusal to work. The Bible text flashed across his mind again. "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." The enraged guard hurled his rifle to the ground and grabbed Pedro by the collar of his prison uniform. "Get to work, you wretched worm!" Pedro felt himself flying towards the pile of rocks. Picking himself up from the dust, he turned around and faced his tormentor again. "Look, I said work!" the guard screamed. He stamped a frenzied pattern on the ground. "Isn't it enough that you scared me half out of my skin? Work, I say, work! Where's your pick?"
"I don't have a pick," Pedro replied quietly.
"You don't have a pick? You walked right past the stack like all the rest. Were your hands numb, or just your head?"
Pedro heard a ripple of laughter from the men as he explained. "I passed the pile like the rest, but I did not take one because God does not want me to." The guard's jaw fell, and for a moment he just stared at Pedro.
"This is ridiculous," he exploded. "First you scare the life out of me, and now you try to tell me about some vision from God."
"No," Pedro said calmly. "I have not had any vision from God. I have been reading from his word. And in the Bible, it says that Saturday is the Sabbath, God's holy day. That is the day he has commanded us to rest, and I must obey him."
"I never read anything like that in the Bible," the guard retorted. "And what difference if I had? This is prison, not church. You obey me, not God."
"I'm sorry, but my Bible tells me that God's commands come before man's. I can show you if you wish."
"You what?"
"In my Bible, right over there." Pedro pointed to the book under the tree. The guard whirled and looked at the Bible and then turned back to the prisoner.
"Come with me," he ordered.
Taking Pedro by the arm, he dragged him under the shade of the tree.
"Back to work," he shouted with a wave of his hand towards the other prisoners, who still stood by the rock pile.
The men squatted on the ground and took up their rocks and picks.
"Now this I must see," he said to Pedro.
"Where?"
"In God's Ten Commandments, right here. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Pedro read the entire commandment, then explained it to the guard.
"Man, what's happened to you these past few days?" the guard demanded.
"What do you mean?"
"I mean you're different. A week ago, you scorched my eardrums with your anger, but today I practically blast you from the face of the earth, and you stand there calmly talking to me about God."
The guard waved both arms in the air. What's gotten into you?
Do you remember Juan?
Pedro asked.
You mean the man who forgot to register his gun? The one whose preacher got him out of here 2 days ago?
Yes, him.
What about him?
He told me about Jesus and how he helps people to overcome their bad tempers. I tried it, and it works. Jesus helps me to control my tongue so that I'm no longer angry. And I figure that if the God of the Bible, who can control my tongue, tells me to keep the Sabbath, that must be important too. That's why I cannot work today. The guard turned around and beckoned to the men at the rock pile. Hombres, men, come here. Listen to this man preach. You need it. The men needed no second invitation to leave their work under the scorching sun and sit in the shade of a tree. Throwing down their picks, they scrambled to where Pedro and the guard stood and sat in a circle around them. Amigos, the guard said, you may not like sermons, but they are better than work on a hot day like this. Listen to what this man says. The guard walked over to his rifle, sat down, and laid it across his legs as he faced Pedro. All that morning and through the afternoon, Pedro talked to the men about his newfound faith. Some of them became bored and slept, but others listened. On some faces, Pedro saw genuine concern for the kind of lives they had been living. For several weeks, the guard permitted Pedro to speak to the converts on Sabbath instead of their working. After a time, Pedro received permission to spend the Sabbath in his cell. One morning, several months later, Pedro started to follow the other prisoners out the door to work, when the guard stopped him. Amigo, he called, you aren't supposed to go to work today. The warden wants to see you. Another guard will come for you when he is ready. Pedro was stunned. Had his Sabbath keeping got him into trouble after all? Shaken, he returned to the cell as the door slammed shut behind him. Dear God, he prayed aloud as he picked up his Bible, I don't know what this is all about, but you helped me through the last test, and I trust you to help me through this one too. If it means 10 more years in prison, I've learned that I'm far more free in prison with you than I could ever be on the outside without you. Help my faith to remain strong. 2 hours later, Bible in hand, Pedro accompanied a guard through the same halls and steel doors that his friend Juan had passed through some months before. Reaching the warden's office, the guard opened the door and stepped inside. Pedro followed him and stood before a group of 5 men, the warden in the center. Sit down, the warden said. He motioned to a chair in front of his desk. Pedro did, laying his Bible in his lap. This group of men, the warden began, in a tone of voice that Pedro found difficult to interpret, has been reviewing your case, Señor Alfonso. Had they decided to stop his Sabbath privileges, he wondered. His hands gripped the Bible a little tighter. We know, of course, of the incident at the rock pile several months ago, the warden continued. We also know of your talks with the men on Saturday for several weeks after that. Now Pedro felt sure they would take his Sabbath privileges away. Help me to remain faithful whatever the cost, he prayed silently. In speaking with the guards and the other prison personnel who have come in contact with you, the warden continued, we feel that a genuine change has taken place in your life. Pastor Sucre has met with this parole board and has assured us that should you be released from prison, he is willing to assist you in making the adjustment to life on the outside. The board feels that a man who has changed as much as you have ought not to remain in prison any longer. Therefore, as of this day, you are a free man. Pedro bowed his head and buried his face in his hands. His frame shook with emotion. The warden opened the door behind his desk. Into the room stepped Juan and Pastor Sucre. They walked over to where Pedro, face still buried in his hands, wept quietly in his chair. Juan put his hand on Pedro's shoulder. Amigo! Pedro looked up. Juan! He gasped, jumping to his feet. The two men put their arms about each other's shoulders. A few minutes later, they walked out of the prison with Pedro's things in a suitcase. Thank you, Lord, Juan breathed, for letting me forget to register my gun, so I could enter this prison and set another of Satan's prisoners free.